Today we'll read from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 14, text number 29. 11.14.29. The verse is as follows. Strinam stri sanginam sangam yatva durata atmavan sheme vivikta asinas chintayen maam matandrita strinam tri sanginam sangam yatva durata atmavan sheme vivikta asinas chintayen maam matandrita strinam stri sanginam sangam tyaktva durata atmavan sheme vivikta asinas chintayen maam matandrita strinam of women stri to women sanginam of those who are attached or intimately associated sangam association tyaktva giving up durata far away atmavan being conscious of the self sheme fearless vivikte in a separated or isolated place asina sitting chintayet one should concentrate maam on me atandrita with great care translation being conscious of the eternal self one should give up association with women and those intimately associated with women sitting fearlessly in a solitary place one should concentrate the mind on me with great attention. Purport. One who has intimate contact with women and becomes attached to them will gradually lose his determination to go back home, back to Godhead. Association with lusty men gives exactly the same result. Therefore, one is advised to be fearless and to sit down in a solitary place or a place where there are no lusty men and women committing spiritual suicide. Without fear of failure or of unhappiness in life, one should remain with sincere devotees of the Lord. Atandrita means that one should not compromise this principle but should be rigid and cautious. All this is possible only for one who is Atmavan or fixed in practical understanding of the eternal soul. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmay Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna. So in this chapter 14, which is titled Lord Krishna explains the yoga system. This chapter has been going on for some time, and I'm sure most of you know about the gist of what's happening in this chapter. But for those of you who have missed the earlier part, in this chapter, Lord Krishna is explaining to Uddhava the supremacy of Bhakti Yoga over all other processes of attaining self-realization. So, Lord Krishna is telling Uddhava that I had explained this science many millions of years back to many entities, okay, the devas, the demons, the asuras, and so many people, so many great personalities, but the science has been lost. And what happened is, after some time, the people who were coming in the disciplic succession, because of their fall down, they have altered the meaning of whatever originally that I spoke. Therefore, dear Uddhava, I am speaking this message to you again. So that is what is happening in this chapter. The supremacy of devotional life, Bhakti Yoga, over all other processes is glorified. And specifically, in this particular verse, some powerful instructions are given that about how one should, how it is very important for one to maintain one's brahmacharya and also to restrict one's association with the opposite sex for progress in spiritual life. So this is a sensitive topic. We'll try and see how we can do some justice to it in the next 40 minutes that is available to us. 8:30 sharp it is to end, right? Sharp. Anil Kuro's instructions. Okay. I'll try to end at 8:30 today. Okay. So let's go through this verse once again. Being conscious of the eternal self, one should give up association with women and those intimately associated with women. Sitting fearlessly in a solitary place, one should concentrate the mind on me with great attention. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th chapter, around 9th canto, 19th chapter, text 17, this topic has been discussed. There is a very powerful statement which comes there. This is pertaining to the pastime of King Yayati. The chapter is titled as King Yayati Attains Liberation. The verse says, one should not allow oneself, please hear carefully, one should not allow oneself to sit on the same seat. One should not allow oneself to sit on the same seat even with one's own mother, sister or daughter. Not in the same seat even with one's own mother, sister or daughter. For the senses are so strong that even though one is very advanced in knowledge, even though one is very advanced in knowledge, he may be attracted by sex. Very powerful statement. Matra means mother. Swashra means sister. And Duhitra means daughter. Matra swarsha duhitrava navivikstasano bhavet balavan indriya gramo. Balavan means one who is really, you know, strong. Balavan indriya gramo, even such a person senses, vidvansam apikarsati. Vidvan means person who is having very high amount of knowledge and very strong. Even such a person can fall down to this sex desire. So Lord Kapila is also giving the same instructions in 3rd canto to his mother Devahuti. And in fact, the next verse after this, which I am not going to lecture on today about, I am not going to talk about the next verse, but the next verse is actually almost a replication of that verse which Lord Kapila spoke. The next verse is, Na tatasya bhaven klesho bandascha anya prasangaha yoshit sangha yata apumso yata tat sanghi sangataha. The only word which Lord Kapila spoke differently than this next verse is, he said, Na tatasya bhaven moho. And tomorrow's verse is, Na tatasya bhaven klesho. But essentially the same thing. So the purport of that verse which Lord Kapila spoke, he told his mother Devahuti that out of all the attractions that take away a person or that keep a person in bonded to this material world, out of all such attractions, the highest is the attraction to the opposite sex. This is the highest level of infatuation somebody can have. We get attracted to so many things, car, house, so on and so forth. But the highest attachment is infatuation to the opposite sex. And he says, worse than that, there is something worse than that also. What is that? Worse than that is the attachment to a man who is very attached to the opposite sex. Which means even if we have attachment to opposite sex, there is a remedy. But it is even more difficult if we are attached to a man or have associate with a man who is attached to the opposite sex. That is even worse. Yoshit sangha yatha pumso yatha tat sanghi sangataha. So we should avoid such association. So Srimad Bhagavatam is Amala Puran, beyond the three modes of material nature. And therefore Srimad Bhagavatam has no business in giving user-friendly instructions or user-friendly philosophy. All Srimad Bhagavatam instructions are very cutting by nature, whether we like it or we don't like it. So we see a lot of such cutting examples if we study the Srimad Bhagavatam, where the association of a woman has ruined somebody's spiritual life. Again, the problem has got nothing to do with women. Please pardon me if I am sounding so. The problem is in the consciousness of men in associating with women. So here we see in this verse, it mentions that one should not allow oneself to sit on the same seat even with one's own mother, sister or daughter. So this is an extreme instruction. On the other hand, we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, in some other canto, canto 7, it says in canto 7 that when Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb of his mother and she was pregnant, she desired the safety of her embryo and desired that she should give birth to Prahlad Maharaj only after Hiranyakashipu, her husband, comes back from his tapasya. So what she did was, she stayed at the house of Narad Muni. Just imagine, a grihastha's wife, Hiranyakashipu was a, of course, you can call him as a grihastha, can call him as a grihamedi, but whatever. Okay. So his wife is staying in the house of a brahmachari, Narad Muni, Naishthika brahmachari. She is staying there in his house. Okay. So thus she stayed at Narad Muni's ashram, where she rendered service unto Narad Muni. Grihastha's wife rendering service to brahmachari inside the brahmachari's house with great devotion. Does this mean, Srila Prabhupada, the purport says that, does this mean that Narad Muni transgressed the Vedic injunctions? So Srila Prabhupada reconciles this contradiction. On one hand, one should not even sit with one's own mother. On the other hand, brahmachari serving grihastha's wife. Contradiction in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada reconciles this contradiction in his purport by saying, certainly he did not. He did not what? He did not transgress the Vedic injunctions. Narad Muni did not transgress the Vedic injunctions because such injunctions are meant for mundane creatures. Prabhupada says, Narad Muni was a great saint, transcendentally situated. Therefore, although he was a young man, he could give shelter to a young woman and accept service from her. Because he was transcendentally situated, and that's the difference. So, if we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Haridas Thakur also spoke with the young prostitute. Normally, the night time is the mode of ignorance. We say in Hindi, "Achcha achyon ka dimag kharab ho jata," in the night time. Even persons who are very nicely situated in devotional life, even their head goes for a toss. Okay, in the night time. So in the night time, a prostitute is coming to Haridas Thakur and she is very nicely dressed and Haridas Thakur is sitting, she is sitting in front of him. So we can imagine, you know, the mind of an ordinary conditioned soul, how much disturbed, you know, it will be. And also the prostitute is inviting Haridas Thakur for association, physical association. And nobody is there, nobody is watching this also on top of that. Sometimes, you know, as long as nobody is watching, it is okay to do things, as long as you are caught. Then it is okay to do things. The mind can tell like that. Okay. And they can say, okay, after all we are chanting 16 rounds. What is the problem? No. Cheto darpana marjanam. Everything will be cleared. All sins will be... There is no sin in this world which chanting cannot wash off. You know, the mind will give all these philosophies. But Haridas Thakur was so strong that even such a situation, could not deviate his mind. What to speak of that Haridas Thakurji saved himself, but he also delivered the prostitute. The prostitute who had come with intentions of sex with her, with Haridas Thakur, she became a pure Vaishnavi. So therefore Srila Prabhupada says that ordinary persons, however, should not imitate such highly advanced and elevated devotees. And for us, Srila Prabhupada said that we must strictly observe the rules and regulations and stay aloof from the association of women. So we cannot experiment, saying that, okay, I will also associate and maybe I will also go and preach to, you know, Vaishnavis. Many times it happens. In devotional service also, we like to associate with the opposite sex. We are waiting for an opportunity, you know, when I can preach to that Mataji, like that. So how I can impress that person with my understanding of and erudition of philosophy, so that the Mataji thinks how nice this Prabhuji is, so strong philosophy is. So therefore she will get impressed. So this subtle desire to preach can even come from somewhere else, even in devotees. And we'll talk more about that as we go along, you know, in this class. So Srila Prabhupada says that no one should imitate Narad Muni or Haridas Thakur. It is said, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vidne Na Bhujaya. Which means, even if a man is very advanced in learning, he cannot understand the behavior of a pure Vaishnava. Even if we are highly, we know, we have read the Srimad Bhagavatam, we do our Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav and all Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarva Bhauma course, still we cannot understand the mind of pure Vaishnava, even after reading. So, there are many instances extreme instances in Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. The classic example is of Chota Haridas. Chota Haridas was an intimate servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. And one day what happened, Chota Haridas went out and brought some prasadam for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, and then Mahaprabhu was tasting it and saying, this is very nice, where did you get this prasadam from? So he said that I had gone to the house of a 84-year-old woman and I had taken prasadam from her, and that is the prasadam. And that 84-year-old woman was not a karmi. She was, what's her name? Sikki Mahiti, right? Yeah, her name was Sikki Mahiti, if I am not mistaken. She was herself a very great devotee. But Chota Haridas went to her house and took prasadam and offered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu condemned him. He said, I don't want to see your face again. How can you go and associate with a woman when she is alone at home? And it is mentioned also that this Mataji, 84-year-old woman, she had a daughter in her house. Madhavi or something her name was, if I remember correctly from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the daughter was there in the house, and Chota Haridas, he actually went to take alms for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhukari, but his eyes focused momentarily on that young daughter of this lady. And for a small fraction of a microsecond, his mind was little bit going towards that lady. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Paramatma himself. So he knew that this is a great danger. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself took sannyas to establish the highest standards of bhakti. And when he knew this, he said, I don't want to see Chota Haridas' face. And then Chota Haridas went to the confluence of Prayag, the Triveni Sangam, where the three rivers meet, Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati, and he committed suicide. He ended his life. Please do not think by this pastime that Chota Haridas was a conditioned soul. No. Because later on in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually went to Prayag, and then there was this chanting which was heard from the Triveni Sangam. And it was said that, and Mahaprabhu himself said that this is Chota Haridas chanting. So Chota Haridas was not a fallen devotee or anything. He was a very intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But this whole pastime was enacted for conditioned souls. If this can happen to the most intimate servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and if this is the standard in devotional life, where are we? That is the whole understanding. The same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was very strict with Chota Haridas, and for this small offense, he gave such a big punishment. He knew very well that Srila Ramananda Rai was associating with young kanyas, maiden women, day in and day out. In fact, Lord Srila Ramananda Rai used to take these young girls to the forest, where they were actually, and he was personally dressing their bodies for performing Krishna Leela. He was personally dressing the bodies. And Mahaprabhu never said, condemned Ramananda Rai. Mahaprabhu said, Ramananda Rai is the most exalted devotee. On the other hand, you see, Chota Haridas, for this, he committed suicide. What is the difference? Why this differential treatment for Chota Haridas and for Ramanand Rai? So it is mentioned that the differential treatment is only because of the ashram that they were both in. One was a brahmachari ashram and one was a grihastha. So some leniency to grihasthas is given, but for a brahmachari there is no leniency, no leniency and no leniency. That's why a brahmachari ashram is the most glorious ashram in that sense, but actually we are also, it is an unsafe ashram. It's not a safe path. So therefore, unless one is very clear in one's mind that one is willing to undergo the austerities that are required of brahmacharya, one should not take up that ashram prematurely and accept the saffron robe. So these are very high standards. Talking about one of the greatest, in fact, the greatest devotee that ISKCON has seen, none other than His Holiness Vishnujan Swami. His Holiness Vishnujan Swami and His Holiness Jayananda Prabhu, both of them were the most exalted devotees that we can read about in the history of ISKCON. They were the most intimate disciples of Srila Prabhupada, most loved. And there are very few people who can match the kind of service and the commitment to Srila Prabhupada that His Holiness Vishnujan Maharaj showed. There are articles and articles we can read about Vishnujan Swami, and we will understand that he was not an ordinary personality. One day when Vishnujan Swami Maharaj was in the Rath Yatra, he happened to meet his ex-wife before he had taken sannyas. And he just spoke to her for a few moments, that's all. That too he coincidentally met her, she was there in the Yatra. And then when he came back, Srila Prabhupada was walking on the corridor somewhere. And then there were other disciples who were asking Srila Prabhupada some questions about association with women. This was going on. And Vishnujan Swami Maharaj heard Srila Prabhupada say that if one, after taking brahmachari or sannyasa ashram, associates with the women, okay, with a purpose which is not related to Krishna consciousness, even for a fraction of a second, the punishment is that he must commit suicide, like Chota Haridas did. And actually, His Holiness Vishnujan Swami Maharaj heard that, and then he went, and that was his disappearance pastime. Okay. He went and actually went to Prayag. Of course, what happened, the most unfortunate thing, what I understand, is Vishnujan Swami Maharaj did not hear the next statement of Srila Prabhupada. He just heard that much and he left immediately. Obviously because of the very high standards that he set for himself. Srila Prabhupada said, but you all need not do that. And he did not hear that. And the fact that he did not hear that, it's very easily understandable that it was a pastime of the Lord. Because Vishnujan Maharaj is the most elevated devotee that ISKCON has seen. He is not an ordinary personality. And in fact, I read in somewhere, I don't know whether somebody has to corroborate this for me, whether this is true or not, but Srila Prabhupada said that I can hear Vishnujan's chanting. Srila Prabhupada used to say that. Just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I can hear Chota Haridas's chanting. So, this is the standards. So, devotees have set these kind of standards in ISKCON for themselves and to show us how carefully we should be. When Lord Krishna left for Dwarka, Kunti Maharani says lot of beautiful prayers. But the important point to understand is how Kunti Maharani starts her prayer. Kunti Maharani starts her prayer to Lord Krishna by saying, Namasye Purusham Tva Adhyam Ishwaram Prakrite Param. Kunti Maharani starts her prayer like this. What is she saying? She is saying, Lord Krishna, you are actually the only Purusha. The only real Purusha is Lord Krishna. No one else is Purusha. Purusha means the supreme enjoyer. And all others, even the so-called men, are meant to be enjoyed. So she starts her prayers like this. Namaste Purusham Tva Adhyam Ishwaram Prakrite Param. So being a pure devotee of the Lord, Kunti Maharani has internalized this fact that Lord Krishna is the only Purusha. But being conditioned soul, we jivas take lot of time, maybe many janmas, to understand this fact that we are not the supreme enjoyer, we are not the real Purusha. We are meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. The jiva wants to enjoy separately from the Lord. And therefore what happens, because the jiva wants to enjoy separately from the Lord, the three modes of material nature makes itself very nicely available and presentable to the conditioned soul, and therefore it attracts the conditioned soul and keeps the conditioned soul bonded to this material world. The beauty or the scent of a woman, or the words of a woman, or the voice, sweet voice of a woman, can attract us so much that it can throw us out from devotional life forever. So we have to be very careful. And especially if we experience this in our life, then we have to realize and remember these instructions. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita 13.22 says, Purusha prakriti stohi bhukte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangasya sad asad yoni janmashu. It means the living entity in the material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. So devotional life is like a 180 degree paradigm shift for all of us. There is transformation which is required, which is to the very core of our existence. Such a transformation is required in devotional life. So anyone who wants to take up spiritual life must be careful of the motive of anything and everything that we do. The motives are very important. We can justify to the whole world, but our Paramatma knows our motive, why we did something. So Maharaj Yayati, we are talking about, Maharaj Yayati happened to pass by a woman. This woman was helpless inside the well. If you know Maharaj Yayati's pastime, Maharaj Yayati was a great king, and he was walking by, and there was a woman shouting for help from inside a well. Please help, please help. And she was not covered properly. Okay, she had not covered her body properly. So Maharaj Yayati actually was a nice person. Okay, so he was a very helpful person. So he wanted to help everyone. So what Maharaj Yayati did, he went to the well, and since he saw this lady was in distress and she was crying out for help, he immediately went there, saw her, and threw his robe. He removed his robe and threw it there so that the lady can cover her body. This we must have seen in Bollywood. The hero comes like that, the heroine is being raped by the villain, and then the hero says, Dishum, Dishum, he punches the fellow, and then he takes his shawl and then he covers that, and then the audience, everybody is whistling and all, wow, what a hero, how he protected. But later on what happens is a problem with that, between the hero and heroine. And that is what happened with Maharaj Yayati also here. Okay. So Maharaj Yayati, he put his cloth like that. But later on, he continued. And when Maharaj Yayati put this cloth, he was in a service mood. Real service mood. You know, we are all spirit souls and whatever. You know, it is my duty as a king to protect the subjects, and all those philosophies came into his mind and he threw this. But later on what happened? He got intimately associated with this lady. Prolonged intimacy. And what happened? When the prolonged intimacy started, his service mood went flying out of the window after that. Okay. And what happened was, it is Srila Prabhupada mentions, that was the beginning of the end of Maharaj Yayati's service attitude. The beginning of the end of service attitude is prolonged intimacy. Okay. So, a jiva who comes, you know, since time immemorial, we are used to having this enjoying propensity. And if you see from Maharaj Yayati's pastime, the natural tendency, because Maharaj Yayati was not shown anywhere as a pure devotee of the Lord, so this enjoying tendency was there. So momentarily the service attitude came, but because of intimacy, service attitude went away. And this we can see many times even in our ordinary life. For example, if we are playing musical instruments in the temple, Jaya Jaya Gora Chandra is going on, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, everything is going on, 24 hour kirtan is going on, everybody is dancing, and we are playing the musical instrument. Okay. So what is the objective of 24 hour kirtan? To remember Lord Krishna. Who are we playing the musical instrument for? Who are we singing for? For the pleasure of Krishna. But this tendency to impress is so high that we never know when we have stopped playing the musical instrument for Krishna and when our song or our musical instrument is meant for impressing the Matajis who are present in the room. This is how the mind goes. It's very, very tricky. Suddenly you will find that when the Mataji enters, the kartalas become little bit faster. The voice becomes, the raga changes suddenly. Suddenly that fine tune will come. Like that. Okay. So
in fact, this is true. We may laugh at it, but it is true. This is mentioned in a book called Brahmacharya in Krishna Consciousness by Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj. He mentions that everything is very nice with the Brahmacharis inside the room until one Mataji enters. And he says that the Mataji enters, suddenly there is a slight change in the momentum of the activities which go on in that room. Slight change is there, you know. If we are walking, you know, at a normal pace, suddenly we may tend to walk faster or something like that, you know. Or do things, you know, or act very busy or whatever. So the mind is extremely tricky. The desire to impress is very high, regardless of the ashram. Like that. This is there for everyone. For Grihastha also this is true. So with this tendency of Maharaj Yayati, it is very easy to defocus ourselves from the primary objective of our service and get focused somewhere else. So therefore, Bhagavad Gita 2.62 says, Dhyayato Vishayam Kumsam, Sankas Tejipajayate, Sankat Sanjayate Kama, Kamat Krodo Vijayate. It means, while contemplating the object of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. And from such attachment, lust develops. But the starting point is what? Contemplation on the object of the senses. That small desire, okay, let me impress this person. Thinking about that person, how I can impress today, how, which kurta I can wear, like that. Okay, so that is the, now I am specifically speaking, because it's not that because we are chanting 16 rounds and following 4 regulative principles, this will not happen to us. So if it were Bhagavad Gita class, it would have been different, but even in Bhagavatam class, this is relevant for all of us. So this desire to impress is there. So while contemplating on the objects of the senses, that's where the whole genesis starts. A person starts developing attachment for them. And from such attachment, lust develops, and from lust, anger develops. Anger arises. So the case of Ajamil is, you know, is a case in point. Ajamil was a nice brahmana. Actually, he was a very nice person. Very nicely respectful to everyone. Very devout. Believer in God. Nice devotee. One day what happened? Ajamil happened to see a low class man embracing his wife or whoever that lady was. He saw a low class man embracing this woman with a lusty desire. Now when he saw that, Ajamil saw that, at that time, the only thing that happened was, click, that picture was there. That man embracing his partner very lustily. Click, there was a camera which took a photograph and it got imprinted. That image got imprinted inside his heart. Just a momentary click. Okay. So, it is mentioned that this body, this whole body, and then what happened was Ajamila eventually fell down. Okay, forgot to say that. Ajamila eventually fell down because of that momentarily, he just had a glimpse of something which he should not have. Okay. And then he started meditating on that. So, it is mentioned that this body is like a camera. This body is like a camera and the eyes, ears, etc., they are like the lens of the camera. And it is said that this heart and our mind is like the film. We are not talking about digital cameras now. We are talking about the old time cameras, film wala camera, which have to be developed in a dark room so that the positive comes out. Okay, out of that. So, this mind is like a, this body is like a camera, the eyes and ears are like the lenses. And the heart and mind is like a film where thinking, willing and feeling happens. Now it is mentioned that how we deal with this impression which is there inside our heart is the million dollar question. So Ajamil went to the dark room. When Ajamil went to the dark room, he closed his eyes and started focusing on what he had seen. This is like developing the film inside the dark room. The imprint which you have taken from the camera, you are going to a dark room and developing that. And then the negative becomes a positive. And there is a nice picture which comes. So Ajamil took this small impression, went to the dark room, started meditating on that, and therefore a picture was developed. Not only a picture was developed, but Ajamil also took the picture to his home and put a nice photo frame and put it on his wall. So that he can be constantly reminded of that. This is called as contemplation on the objects of senses, which leads to fall down. And that is the main problem. The root, it is said that the root cause arose in his heart all over again. The root cause of enjoyment arose all over again because again and again you are contemplating on the same film. Oh, that man was embracing that lady. Oh, that man was embracing that lady. Oh, that man was embracing that lady. This is called as constantly meditating on that. And it could happen to any one of us. We are in Melbourne. Melbourne is a free country.
anything goes on, even in the tram railway stations. Every day we go to work, and now it is summer. Summer means even more dangerous problem, right? And we live close to the beach also on top of that. So we may be nicely going for morning japa walk, but we may take some glimpse at the beach and our whole japa will change then after that. And then we come home and contemplate on that. Oh, what a nice beach. Let me go daily for japa walks. It's good to go. No? So that is a problem. That contemplation is a problem. Now, the beauty about a film is that, why film is kept in a dark room? So that positive can come out. If you take the film and keep it in sunlight, what will happen? Those impressions are gone forever. Krishna haya surya sama, maya haya andhakar. Yahan Krishna, tahan nahi maya adhikar. So Krishna is like that sun, surya sama. So if we expose our dark film, instead of taking it to a dark room, if we expose it to the light of Krishna, then those imprints will be wiped. That light is nothing but the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And along with that, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Hridayanta Stohi Abhadhani Vidunoti Suratsatam. Which means, Abhadrani, whatever is troublesome to the heart, those camera lenses which have taken in the beach, which have been taken in the tram, all those things are imprinted inside the heart. Then in the morning when we come and hear Srimad Bhagavatam class, and when we chant our 16 rounds in the morning with attention and care, then Chetodarapana Marjanam. All those imprinting which has happened in our mind is washed off and cleansed off. So Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Instruction, verse 7, he tells us how to engage this mind and heart in thinking, feeling and willing. Nectar of Instruction, verse 7. So it says, the first aspect, thinking. There are four lines in this verse, and the first line talks about thinking. It says, Syat Krishna Nama Charitadi Sitapi Avidya. This is the first line of Nectar of Instruction 7. It talks about thinking. So he says, we must think when we are chanting that how powerful and merciful is the holy name of the Lord. How glorious is the holy name of the Lord. We must constantly think about the glories of the holy name. Talking about feeling, the next line says, Pittopatapta rasanasya na rochika nu. Which means, we must always feel that we are insignificant. Not that we are the supreme enjoyer. We must feel our insignificant position and our fallen position. Durdaivam idrisham ihajani nanuraga. I am so unfortunate, my dear Lord, that I have left your association and now I am going after this mundane bodily desire. Right? And this is, though I know that this is going to keep me bound to the material world, still I cannot control my senses. Though I am suffering in this material world, still I cannot get over this desire. Durdaivam idrisham ihajani nanuraga. This is the feeling part. We must feel like that. We must feel despondent, helpless and take shelter of the holy name. The third line talks about willing. Kintu adarad anudinam khalu saiva justa. Which means, we must be willing with great respect and attention. Every day with attention and determination, we must be willing to chant the holy names of the Lord. Thinking, feeling and willing. And then what happens? The fourth line, we develop taste. Svadvi kramad bhavati tadgata moolahantri. That taste, if we follow this process of thinking, willing and feeling and willing, then we get that taste. And that taste is the higher taste, param drishtva nivartante. That taste of service to Lord Krishna, unalloyed service in our natural constitutional position. So that is given as the medicine by Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Instruction. The pastime from Ramayana is there, significant pastime by Lord Hanuman. Lord Hanuman went to Lanka. Why did he go to Lanka? Not to tour Sri Lanka. He went on the instruction of Lord Ram. And what was his purpose? His purpose was to find Sita Devi. So when he went to find Sita Devi, do you know where he entered? He entered into the most private chambers of Ravan. Most private chambers. In modern language, it's called as bedroom. Okay. So most private chambers. There were hundreds of beds there. And there were no ordinary women there. It is mentioned in the scriptures, there were Deva Kanyas, there were Raja Kanyas, there were Rishi Kanyas, Kanyas. So, Miss World, Miss Universe, Miss America, Miss Australia, everybody was sleeping there. Raja Kanyas, Deva Kanyas. All these people, not only that these people were intoxicated and they are scantily dressed also on top of that. And Hanumanji is entering that place. Why? To find Sita. So one may wonder that what is a brahmachari doing in a grihastha's bedroom? A brahmachari entering a grihastha's bedroom and closely looking at all the wives there. Can you imagine? But he was there with a purpose. He was there with a service attitude which was so strong that he just did the needful there and got away. This is what, where Maharaj Yayati failed. Maharaj Yayati did not do the needful. He could have simply asked this grihastha soldiers, okay, guys, you go there and give her whatever cloth is necessary, immediately help. But he went and got intimately associated with this lady. So, we are not Hanumanji, Naradji or Haridas Thakur. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, we are mundane creatures and therefore injunctions are very important to us. And if we don't follow these Vedic injunctions and Vaishnava etiquettes, which are like an armor, then easily Cupid can enter our heart and we can fall down. Similarly, in the case of Narad Muni also, which we discussed earlier, Narad Muni was so absorbed in his service that he accepted service from Prahlad's mother out of Vaishnava etiquette, but he never got too involved with her. He accepted that service from Prahlad's mother just as much as Sudama accepted service from Lord Krishna in order to be able to serve him in return. So for grihasthas also, all these injunctions are very important. Okay, for grihasthas also it is very important to actually practice brahmacharya inside the house. Grihastha ashram doesn't mean that it is a license for unrestricted sex with the partner. Grihastha life also, the injunctions are that one must associate with one's wife only for the procreation of a Krishna conscious child. So these instructions are not only for brahmacharis, these are as much relevant for grihasthas as it is relevant for brahmacharis. In fact, sometimes it is easier for brahmacharis to practice Krishna consciousness because brahmacharis have already donned the saffron robe. Okay. And brahmacharis live in an environment where there is no opportunity to engage the senses. Whereas grihasthas continuously live in an environment where the opportunity comes, and worse is nobody will see it also. What happens in our houses? So a grihastha is in that sense in a much more dangerous condition. Where there is availability, then there is the tendency to enjoyment is more there than where there is fundamentally no availability. So it is as much important for grihasthas. So therefore Srila Prabhupada recommended that for grihasthas, deity worship at home is very important. Because by the process of doing deity worship, we get reminded as to when we come home, when we wake up in the morning, we see, okay, who is the enjoyer, supreme enjoyer, the two deities are standing like this. Sri Sri Gauranita is standing like this. Okay, so when we look at that, we get reminded, oh, I am not the supreme enjoyer. This house belongs to the deities. And whoever is there, even if it is my wife, she is the servant of the deities. If we are somehow able to develop this kind of a mood constantly in deity worship, then a grihastha will also be able to control his senses. So in our Bhakti Virksha program on Saturdays, we are almost at the fag end of study of the Vaishnava etiquette manual. In the Vaishnava etiquette manual, I'll read out some important points which the Maharajas in ISKCON have mentioned. So it talks about various aspects and I'll end by 8:30. It talks about dealings with ladies. Under dealings with ladies, there are a few points given. I'll just read them out. One, a woman should be given all respect, particularly if she is a Vaishnavi. Number two, a brahmachari should see everyone as his mother, and grihastha should see everyone as his mother except his wife. Third, brahmacharis should associate with matajis only so far as required to execute service and not more than that. That is dealings with ladies. Then association. It is said that one must avoid non-devotee association, which is by default contaminating, and one should only have such association to execute business purpose or bare minimal social obligations, like that with relatives and friends and so on and so forth. Only bare minimal social obligations, not more. Then it talks about dress code for matajis. It is said matajis must always keep their head covered in the presence of men and avoid non-Vaishnava attire except when required for preaching, book distribution and other compelling situations. And it is said that the Mataji should always keep their hair tied with tilak on their head. And for everyone, it is mentioned that one should not wear very fashionable clothes while coming to the temple, perfumes, etc. That when they come across, when a devotee comes across another devotee or a non-devotee or a fresher to the temple, the devotee, whether it is Prabhuji or a Mataji, should not remind one of a Hollywood hero or a Bollywood heroine. Rather than that, our dress should remind the other person of Krishna. Like that. Okay. So that is why dressing is very important. Dancing. While dancing, it is said that we must have separate sections for men and for women. And dancing should be in line with what is recommended by Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes, because people said, Prabhuji, you dance very well, then we try to dance too well. Okay, we try to maintain our image and we try to impress with new steps that we have learnt in dancing. Therefore, we have to be very careful why we are dancing. Are we dancing for the pleasure of the Lord? Are we showing our skill sets for impressing people? Very important. So people actually develop negative impression of ISKCON when these small things go wrong and out of control. Preaching. Prabhuji's must preach to Prabhuji's only, and Prabhuji's must not preach to Mataji's. Prabhuji's have a desire, we all conditioned souls have a desire, you know, because we have seen so much of Bollywood movies where the hero comes on a horse and saves the damsel in distress. Okay. So we all have this mentality in our heart. So the moment one Mataji is saying, you know, I am having so many problems in my life, then the Prabhuji will go and directly preach to the Mataji. This is very dangerous. So therefore the etiquette is, if a Mataji is having a problem, the Prabhuji can direct. If he is a Grihastha, he should direct. Okay, Mataji, you have a problem? Okay, no problem. We are there to serve you. Please talk to my wife, if the wife is a devotee. Or keep the wife in front and then talk to the Mataji. Not alone. No rescuing the damsel in distress business. Otherwise, fall down can happen immediately. Okay. So, and also, one more last point. Avoiding too much of this internet forum, Facebook, Nosebook, Handbook, Legbook. Okay. This is another irritating factor. Every day I get this Facebook. I don't know why I registered. I don't know even now how to use Facebook. But somehow, you know, some devotee invited me. Please friend. And then I said, you know, it will be apraj, you know, because this Facebook, this, you know, this device, it goes and tells the other person, he has rejected you as a friend. And then it will be Vaishnava, I click. Now, and then I have said, okay, what to do? Then somebody reminded me, Prabhuji, Facebook, I am calling you in Facebook, please come. And then when I go there and I browse through some devotees have put obnoxious photographs on Facebook, you know. They have put intimate photographs with their wife, you know, clicking photograph like that. This is not, devotees don't do all those things. You don't put, you know, your wife's photograph and yourself like that, you know, in the Hawaii Islands or whatever, you know, and put such things on Facebook. When you see all this, you know, what happens? The devotee does not remind us of Krishna anymore. Okay, so therefore, even we must avoid all this Facebook chatting, internet chatting. Internet chatting is another, you know, dangerous weapon of Kali Yuga. It can immediately lead to fall down. So, Vaishnava Etiquette Manual mentions so many points like this. So, we have to take care and always be careful that we don't associate with women more than that is required for Krishna consciousness. So, that is the essence of this verse. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments? Corrections? Yes, Madhu. Yes.
Then
So, we understand this from Lord Kapil Dev's teachings to Devahuti in the third canto, and Srila Prabhupada writes in several sections that a woman is more vulnerable
she needs to be protected. Prabhupada says, cows, women, and who are the others? Elderly men and children. They all must be protected, and that is the duty of a man to protect the lady. Okay. So it is, Srila Prabhupada also mentions that when the lady is young, initially, when the daughter is there, then the daughter is protected by the parents very nicely. But when the girl grows up eventually, and when at some point in time the parents are going to leave the world, then it is said that the girl should be constantly under the protection of her husband. So this is what I understand, Mataji. So I understand that by nature, Lord has created the nature in such a way that women are meant to be protected by men. And therefore, that protection, in order for that protection to be bona fide, then the institution of vivaha or marriage is very important. And that is what is mentioned in the Vedas. I don't know whether I have answered your question or not, but that is my limited understanding on this subject.
They can be protected by the brothers.
They can be protected by the brothers also. But what if the brothers don't protect them? Now you may say, what if the husband doesn't protect them? I don't know the answer. The answer is coming from within the house. Thank you for saving me, bro. I'll give you some nice gulab jamun.
So, the king, I think he was looking at Mataji,
Shukracharya is doctor. Devayani, I think.
So, there was a puzzle.
And Shukracharya cursed him. Yes, Prabhu. I'll just take 2 more minutes because I don't want to transgress the injunctions of Anirudh Prabhu. He wanted the class to be over at 8:30. So if it's brief, then we'll take one question. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for saying that, reminding that. Yes, you are correct. And in fact, Keshava Prabhu also reminded us many times in the Bhakti Vaibhav class that the sense agitation may not necessarily start with watching the opposite sex. Sense agitation may start by putting non-prashadam inside the tongue. Because what happens is, if we are putting prashadam inside our tongue, then we have the Suraksha Chakra. The protection all around us. So even if Maya is throwing an arrow in terms of these images, then still we are strong. But the moment we start taking non-prashadam in the tongue, because Srila Prabhupada says everything, the tongue, the belly and the genitals are all on the same line. So therefore the control of the senses starts with the tongue. That's why Srila Rupa Goswami said, Sevon mukehi jivadav swayameva spurati adaha. It starts with the jiv, it starts with the tongue. Where the tongue tastes prashadam and chants the, vibrates the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So your point is very valid, Prabhu. Thank you. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, jai Nitai Gaura Premanand.